This is on the Steve Cochran 5 Must Listen for
Mom
Christmas.
Got drunk and Dad got drunk at a Christmas party. We were drinking champagne punch and homemade eggnog. Little sister brought her new boyfriend. He was a Mexican. We didn't know what to think of him till he sang Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad.
I mean, I'm not knocking Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, but if you got five you must listen to for the holidays, that's got to be on your list. It's also, the subtitle of that, it's the story of my youth. It's 5:43. Good to be back, at least for the next 5 days. Orion, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. I got through 7 speaking engagements in 2 weeks in Minnesota and little towns that you can't get to, but I got there.
What's one of them? Give me one.
Well, St. Cloud.
Vermont, oh, that's not a little town. Lakeville. It's a medium-sized town.
Well, that is, but yeah. Lakeville.
Lakeville.
And Fairmont.
Sure.
And Mankato and Worthington.
How about Frozen Butte? Did you get to Frozen Butte, Minnesota?
I did not get to Frozen Butte. Mm. I did get to Blue Earth.
Blue Earth is a tiny town.
Yeah.
It's a speck on the map.
Yep.
Nice to see you. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. Welcome back.
Thanks. Did you have a nice week?
I did. I was out from here Thursday and Friday, but I was here the rest of the week.
You were out from here?
Well, I was working television, but I wasn't here in the morning.
No, I didn't know what out from here meant.
Awkwardly constructed sentence.
Your English teacher just killed herself.
Yeah, that happened a while.
Nick, how you doing, man?
All right. I was not out from here.
You weren't out from here?
No.
I was over by there. Kev, you doing all right?
Great.
How about you, Fuzzy? You good?
I am good.
I like your hair.
Fuzzy because I'm wearing the you know, this is too warm.
I like your hair, though. You have the best hair on the show.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Oh, thank you,
what?
Steve.
Yeah.
So
even
sweet.
Better than yours. Laura's in for Mary. You all right, Laura?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, just checking on everybody. May have noticed I didn't mention.
How are you, Steve?
Well, you
yeah,
can
how
see,
are you, Steve?
Honestly, I've been gone 9 days. You guys don't care.
Well, you got, how are you? It's a long time you were gone.
Well, if you count the weekends.
Oh.
Yeah. Ross is not here. Who's doing the Ross job today?
Shane Reardon. So we still have a beard back here.
Shane, you all right?
Yeah, I'm good, Steve.
All right, shut up, man. We're on the air. So we got plenty to do on the program today. Nick and I will talk about some movies and stuff. A little Star Wars movie opening this week. I just wish somebody would talk about it.
Never heard of it.
Good Lord with the hype. Yeah. Is that Lord Hype? Is that one of the new characters?
New character, yeah. Jar Jar Abrams invented him, yeah.
Which would be great.
You know what's funny, though, is seeing online now all the toys that we all played with as kids.
Okay, and don't include me in
yeah,
your
don't
Star
include
oh,
me.
Oh, sorry.
In
okay,
we all played
so
with.
All the toys that I played with.
I mean,
that
just reminded
me.
I would have been 20.
Oh, sorry.
Wait, no. When did Star Wars come out?
Come on, man. I was 12.
77.
So you were
77.
I was 12. You were
16.
16.
16.
I was 77.
That's it. I'm leaving.
Mic drop. Boom.
That is the mic drop moment.
Those Star Wars toys.
Point being, I think it would have been a little odd if I was playing with Star Wars toys.
All right, so how about let me rephrase that. The kids who were playing with Star Wars toys back in the day,
mm-hmm.
Now all those toys are coming back. They said that if you have the Luke Skywalker, the original toy, which Bill Leff probably does, in mint condition in the package, it could go for $15,000.
Well, I'm sure. Yeah, Leff has all sorts of toys that you can't touch.
Did you see the... But
I did.
Speaking of
SNL.
The SNL
yeah.
cartoon, or yeah. cartoon, commercial.
No. Yeah, the sketch.
Hilarious.
Very funny.
It was hilarious.
Tina Fey, Amy Poehler movie,
yeah.
opening against Star Wars.
And so is Alvin and the Chipmunks 9, or whatever it is.
So the Tina Fey and the Amy Poehler movie is opening against Star Wars.
Yeah.
What's the strategy there? Just there's
counter,
people
counter,
that don't want to see Star Wars?
Yeah, like I don't want to see Star Wars.
Well, you have
but
to.
Thing, I know I have to. If I didn't have to, I wouldn't see it. But the Sisters movie looks awful.
Oh, I don't think so. I think it looks funny.
Oh. I think it's going to be a time when Tina Fey and Amy Poehler prove to be fallible.
You think it's over for them?
No. I just think they're going to prove to be fallible. I think it looks horrendous.
They're getting pretty sexy on the talk shows. Have you noticed that? How they're both... They used to be like the nice girls next door.
Yeah.
Now they're both sexing it up.
Are they?
I'm not against it. I'm just pointing it out.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not looking forward to it. I'm not looking forward to any of the movies opening next week.
Where's your holiday attitude? Where's your positive?
This is my holiday attitude.
Oh, sorry.
What are you talking about?
So this is upbeat for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the Star Wars movie with J.J. Abrams, a bunch of people you've never heard of, and then Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Carrie Fisher.
Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill is there?
Yeah, Mark Hamill.
Okay, what was the thing about not having Mark Hamill in the trailers?
I don't know. He's all bearded and weird looking. So I guess they want, you know, people to remember Luke Skywalker as stupid and young.
And hot.
Hot?
Luke Skywalker was adorable. He was the cutest one in Star Wars.
He is not better looking than Han Solo. Han Solo was better looking than Luke Skywalker.
That was the whole controversy when we were kids. Han Solo or Luke Skywalker?
Wait, Han Solo is Harrison Ford?
Yeah.
Yeah, Harrison Ford is 72, 3, yeah. 4?
That's
Get
why
off I'm, my plane.
That's right. That's
yeah,
why we have
different movie.
Luke Skywalker was so cute.
Yeah, so do we know anything about the plot?
I don't care.
I know you don't care, but the audience cares.
I don't know. Nobody's leaked anything. And they've been, you know, like all of these people have been on the stars of the movie and Carrie Fisher and all that stuff. They've been on every talk show in the world.
Right.
Nobody knows anything about the movie.
Including the people in the movie?
Yeah. Well, Carrie Fisher has been, by the way, you've seen some of this, some of the interviews, right, that she's been doing?
Well, she's whack.
Did you see the interview on the Today Show with her dog?
No.
It was hilarious.
It's hysterical.
It's so funny.
Is it funny or is she scary?
No. It's legitimately hilarious. Like, not sad funny.
So she's being funny.
Yeah. But let me put it to you this way. My favorite was, on Jimmy Kimmel, they had the two people who are in the movie that I don't know, one of many, Carrie Fisher. They were going to be in, and Adam Driver, who's in the movie, who I know from other things. And they put Jimmy Kimmel put them up against a 7-year-old kid in Star Wars trivia that J.J. Abrams would be the game show host.
The kid win?
The kid killed him. And they asked one question and of the original movie, and everybody kind of looked at Carrie Fisher because the other three are in this new one. Looked at Carrie Fisher, they're like, well, what's the answer? She goes, I don't know. I was doing cocaine when I made that movie.
Yeah, you know what? She wasn't kidding.
I like when Savannah Guthrie thanked her for being there, and she went, this is the only reason I would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning is to do TV.
Well, she got more airtime. Her dog got more FaceTime than she did it's hysterical. It's hysterical.
Dean talked to Harrison Ford, so I'm sure he'll cover that later. Harrison Ford, you know, speaking of top fives, as I was a few moments ago, maybe one of my least favorite interviews. I just quit talking to him years ago.
No kidding.
Talked to him 2 or 3 times.
Oh,
he was a complete
jerk.
Pain in the ass. I wouldn't talk to him.
Really?
Jerk. Yeah.
Yeah. Just going through the motions. He's not Tommy Lee Jones. Tommy Lee Jones just does it to be a jerk. Harrison Ford, I think, is so socially complete. And that's not an excuse, but he's so completely uncomfortable in his own skin. He's got to be a delight to live with. He really does.
Well, you know, it's weird because
great actor though.
He had seemed like a grumpy guy, even in his performances for the past 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, he just seems like a grump. And, like, you watch it, and you're like, he just doesn't want to be there. Can't you? He doesn't. Why did he even show? This guy's got $80 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he making movies if he's just going to be grumpy about it?
Yeah.
The only movie that he was actually seemed to have fun in was one of the worst movies he's ever done, and that's that Cowboys and Indians, or Cowboys and Aliens movie.
Yeah, I never watched it.
A horrible movie. Yeah. But he was like, I remember seeing the movie, and when it was over, I'm like, well, it looked like Harrison Ford was having fun in this movie.
Well, it's funny, because people that work with him don't podshot him. They seem to think he's okay. I just don't know why he thinks the people promoting his movie are the enemy, which is usually the case. Now, Dean's had good experiences with him, so we'll talk to Dean about that later. So Star Wars opens when?
Star Wars
Wednesday?
Opens Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah, and then the sisters, that one.
Yeah, I think you're wrong about that. I think that's going to be a funny movie.
Oh, God. I think it looks terrible, man.
Well, how many times have you seen a trailer where the movie surprised you? A lot.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be the case, though.
Okay.
And then the Alvin, I can't believe this is the fourth.
Friendly bet, $12 million.
That what, it makes?
No, between you and me, $12 million.
Oh, for this oh yeah, sure. Have fun collecting on that.
And the third one is what? The chipmunk thing?
The chipmunk movie. This is the fourth one. Now, the reason why I mentioned that
can
is
I go out in the backyard and just watch squirrels frolic?
I'm
why
sure
do I need
more,
to go to the Alvin
I'm
movie?
I'm sure it's more entertaining.
Come to my house, Steve.
Yeah, you must
see them.
It, but if you make the sound, so you would attract them.
Yeah. I do that. I sometimes wander outside and give it a little bit of that.
What was that?
That's a chipmunk.
That was the first movie.
My chipmunk movie.
That's a real chipmunk.
Yeah, it's me.
Not that.
Wow.
Alvin
thanks.
Simon Theater.
It's one of the many
that's
impressions
good,
I
man.
Do. Yeah,
that's thanks. Good.
It's a real skill. It's a skill you can use down the
You're
road.
You're going to tour with Rich Little this?
That and the old disc jockey days of talking up records. There's two skills
Taking
I'm really
right
using
to the post.
A lot. Yeah.
But the reason why I brought up Alvin and the Chipmunks is because, you know, the Sisters movie is an R-rated sexy comedy.
Is it R?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's rated R.
Why is it going to be an R?
I don't know. That's one of the reasons why I think it's not going to be good, is because they're suddenly going
to
go...
It doesn't need to be an R.
Let's go Amy Schumer on this and see if we can be outrageously sexy. And they're so brilliant, they don't need to stoop to that kind of stuff, I think. That's why I don't think it's going to
be. Yeah, that's not cool.
The reason I bring it up is that's counter-programming, releasing that movie against Star Wars. But the... releasing an Alvin and the Chipmunks movie against a Star Wars movie is just genuinely stupid, because you're splitting the audience. Because the Star Wars movie, you know, anybody over 30 is going to go, I don't care. But the kids are
going to
love it.
But who's going to the Chipmunks movie? Isn't it 7-year-olds?
It's people bringing their kids, yeah. But wouldn't you want to release that movie?
But I'm not taking a 6 or 7-year-old, even the kid from Kimmel. I'm not taking a 6 or 7-year-old to Star Wars.
Oh, you just wait to see how many of those 7-year-olds go this weekend.
I was like 5.
Really?
Ish. Yeah.
You weren't scared for the movie?
Oh, no. I loved Star Wars as a kid.
Never pictured you as a space
geek. So weird, because I was 12 when Star Wars came out, so it should be right in my wheelhouse. I should be a Star Wars geek. I remember seeing it and going...
There wasn't enough death for you.
Well, yeah. True. But no, when it was... Really? But listen, by that point, 1977, by that point, I saw The Exorcist when I was 8. So by that point, I was like, I don't need this. But the movie that captured my imagination, my friends went over and over to see Star Wars.
Yeah.
Okay, and I went a few times. I saw Star Wars in the theater 4 or 5 times when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
Just by necessity. My friends were like, we're going to see Star Wars. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want to be in the house.
Yeah, but I don't want you to think you're normal.
I'm not.
Yeah, because no one went to see movies as many times as you went to see movies.
It's true.
You lived in theaters.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But the movie that captured my imagination that year was Close Encounters. I found that one much more interesting and that one I saw, like, they got to the point, because Star Wars was out, for people who don't remember, Star Wars was out for over a year in the theater. That doesn't happen anymore.
No.
Star Wars was in first run theaters for over a year.
Yeah. No, it doesn't.
And when Close Encounters came out, my friends were like, let's go see Star Wars. And I'd be like, I'm going to the other theater to see Close Encounters and I'll meet you. Dummies.
Was anyone in there?
During Close Encounters?
Yeah.
Yeah, but not near. They weren't an obnoxious crowd jumping up and down like a bunch of fools. They were actually watching a movie. So.
Will you promise me something? Will you donate your brain to science?
No.
No, I really, so I really think it's important. I really think it's important for science to get a look in
there. You're
just
saying just look in and examine.
I just want
not like
to
put it in somebody else's head.
Dave, Orion, don't you guys agree? Don't you think we need to get a good look at what's between Nick's ears?
Yeah, it would be interesting. Yeah.
There's not a lot there, man. Yeah.
No, there is a lot there. Uh-huh. That's my point. There's a lot there. You're a brilliant guy. But there's a part of you that is so close to being a serial killer that I think you need to be watched.
By the way, viewing number 25 happened last week of Mad Max.
That's my point.
Mad Max Fury Road.
That's my point.
My 25th time. Seen it 25 times.
Does anything change? Do you see anything?
Just my brain changes a little bit, but that's about it. By the way, do you see what movie is leading in awards and nominations? It's Mad Max.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man.
Tells us something about the year, doesn't it?
The top two. That's funny. That's real funny. The two movies.
Politics,
That are biting for the most awards right now at this point. The ones that are probably going to go. Mm-hmm. It's Mad Max and Spotlight. But think about that for a second. Those are the two movies.
One is brilliant. The other is Mad Max.
You haven't seen Mad Max.
No, I haven't. Okay. Last thing.
I've seen it 25 times.
Last thing, my fellow hockey nut, Patrick Kane, continues. There's nothing in sports that's comparable outside of a hitting streak in baseball. There's nothing in football or basketball that you can go, well, it's like that. But a hitting streak in baseball lasting this long would be about the same. Now, you've had many, because of the length of the game and the amount of players on the field, it's just a volume and a math play that you've had 26 to, Dave, what, 40? 26 to 40. I bet there's a dozen guys in that area, maybe more, in the hit streaks. We have to look it up, but I bet there is that many. But you know, DiMaggio at 56,
not gonna, that
will never be touched.
No, it won't.
But it's more attainable than Gretzky at 51. Gretzky at 51 is insane.
That's when they said when he hit 25 the other night, he was like, yeah, he's halfway there. Just think about that.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
No, it's absolutely ridiculous. And if you are a hockey fan and you haven't, just at some point Google Wayne Gretzky records.
Oh.
Just, it's incredible. Every scoring record imaginable.
But no, Kane is playing, and you know,
and a great win last night. 4-0.
Great win.
Last two goals were garbage time goals, but a great one. By the way, Bickle got robbed of a goal, didn't he?
He did.
Wasn't that in the net?
I agree. Yep.
It looked like it was across the line.
I agree.
I'm surprised they didn't reverse that.
I do want to mention, you know, we're talking about Kane and he's playing amazing, and the streak is incredible and it's awesome and everything. But man, Crow, the last two games,
oh, tremendous.
He's been playing on his head, and you know he's an inconsistent. We've talked about our feelings about Crawford. Sometimes he's an inconsistent goalie.
Here's the thing: if we donate Crawford's brain and your brain to science, and we don't tell the scientists which one's which, I bet you're close to a goalie.
I bet
your makeup is close
to
a goalie.
Yeah. And I think we've both fallen over drunk at a House of Blues.
Not no more for you, as my brother would say.
No way.
All right, man. Have a good day.
Okay, man.
A couple of minutes before 6. News next. Conrad at 6:10, as in Paul from Channel 9. Coming up, 720 WGN. This is the love theme from Paul Conrad. Oh, this could be, Paul, is this our last get-together for the year?
Yeah, you know, I think it is.
Because
I'm not here next week.
And then the following week.
I think I am. I'm here.
I'm not.
All right,
the following week I'll be gone, so this is it.
How about the week after that?
Yeah, no, I think I'm here the week after that, that would be the new year then.
All right, yeah, hopefully I'm still around. You know, the holidays, you got to be careful.
Yeah, this is it. This is our last go-around.
Let's take a moment, if we could, and just enjoy it. If we could ask everyone to be quiet here. Hold on. Hey, you guys, shut up over there!
Let me look back. Right. I'm looking over a list of all of our contributions to society in 2016. Lord. I got nothing. How about you? You see anything?
I got nothing also, but let's take a moment to breathe it all in.
Yes, yes, yes. And as America is in the midst of a crisis, and Chicago is as well, I really think the hope for the future is this 6:10 a.m. Monday morning segment for you and I in 2016.
I got to believe you are right.
Man.
Let's talk about two guys who bring hope to the hopeless. It is you and me.
Well, I'm just more going along the line of we did nothing memorable in 2015.
Light up my life.
So it's got to be better in 2016.
That's right.
That's all I'm saying.
Give me
hey, are you shopping?
I think I'm done.
Did you buy anything?
I did. I picked up some things.
What did you get for Svetlana?
I got her some nice pots and pans. Real nice ones.
This is Paul's mail order bride that he got from Russia. By the way, did you have her delivered with Amazon Prime? Because I hear it's free that way.
Yeah, it's a lot quicker that way.
Yeah.
And they take returns, which helped a lot with the first three that I had ordered.
Paul and I were talking this weekend, and with all the great gifts you get as a kid, sometimes there's a gift that doesn't really go well.
Or big turds.
Could have been well intended. Yep. And mine is more psychologically disturbing.
All right, what's yours?
My grandmother was different.
All right.
And one year she gave me a Gumby.
Okay.
It was my Gumby.
Nice.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was my Gumby.
She gave you your own Gumby.
Yeah, and later in life, when I was a teenager, she had a couple of brushes with shoplifting.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking she was just practicing.
Yeah.
But it was my Gumby, and I remember going to my mother, her daughter, and saying, we called her Granny.
Yep.
Why is Granny giving me my Gumby?
Right. And what'd Mom have to say?
She looked really appalled, and she just said, well, aren't you glad to have it back?
Right, yeah.
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 It's a mom thing to say.
It's a lesson for all of us,
I think so. But yours is very interesting. What happened to you?
Well, I'm in college, you know, and I didn't come from a fancy family or anything. And you know, when you're in college, you know, we're at our house, you're on your own, right, growing up. And
get out.
I'm struggling to just eat, right, in college.
Right.
And at Christmas, I'm probably 19 years old.
So you got no money. You're looking at the kids eating ramen noodles going, living.
I had like a budget of $1.75 for my...
They are living. The rich kids have the ramen noodles.
Right. So anyway, my parents, I open up my Christmas gift, and they have bought me a full-length faux fur coat. That's a woman's coat also. A woman's full fur coat. And I'm looking at that. I'm riding my bicycle to school every day. And I'm thinking, I'm going to wear the woman's faux fur coat. And I'm like, what? This is great. Thank you. And my mom's like, well, you know, we just couldn't find anything. We know that we wanted you to be warm. And we found this great fur coat.
What a deal.
Burlington Outlet.
What a deal we got.
About your size, and we just wanted you to be warm.
Andrea.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Your Channel 9 colleague and journalist Andrea here has what I believe is a very legitimate follow-up. What is your question?
I was going to say, is that about the time where they came up with the lyric, it's hard out there for a pimp?
Yeah.
It was probably shortly after that.
Okay. Now, I've met Paul's mom. She's a delight.
When she's sober.
And it wasn't that true of all of us. And did she think she was buying a men's coat?
They knew it was a woman's coat, but they thought, hey, it's his size. It's going to fit him. It's kind of big in the shoulders. So I'm like, all right, now what am I going to do with this thing? So we had a family friend who was a retired nun who was a tall lady. And I thought, I'm giving it to her, because what kind of retired nun is going to have a full-length fur coat?
That's nice.
Plus, she's the only woman tall enough that it would make sense for.
And I think the vow of poverty, it goes right in there when she strolls in with her fur coat on.
She's going to be at the top of the convent when she comes
sweet
strolling
story.
Around
Did
there.
You check the pocket, see if a Gumby was in there?
I did. I did. There was nothing in there. I kept searching, thinking there's something. I got to find something in here that will make sense, and nothing did.
These are the tragic stories of our youth. I know you got to go do the TV thing that you get paid for.
Yep.
All right, buddy. Well, Happy New Year.
Well, Happy
Merry
New Year.
Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Come here. Get over here. Give me a hug. I love you. Get over here.
It will be because I love you.
You know, the last 2 weeks, for some reason, I can't put a pinpoint something that realistically today that said I shouldn't have made that kick.
Every great kicker will tell you it's like golf. The swing is similar, the swing of the leg, and there's no sport that's more in your head than golf. I think, as Adam Hoge joins us now, and good morning, Adam, how are you?
Good morning, Steve. Missed you last week.
And thank you, buddy. Missed you as well, but I've heard your stuff, saw you on TV. You're doing great, and I think you're up for an off-color, sort of a lilac heart for covering the last 2 weeks of Bears.
This is getting old, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. So the Robbie Gould thing. Look, the guy's made 85% of his kicks. He's worth $3 million, but not in the last 2 weeks.
No, not when you're the third highest paid kicker in the league.
You got to make them.
You're expected to make those field goals. He knows that, though. And, you know, to his credit, he's been waiting for us at his locker when the locker room opens after the game. And
good guy.
Answering the questions and taking responsibility for it. And I know he feels bad that he hasn't come through the last 2 weeks. You know, I think this is an interesting question going into the offseason.
Well, Dave and I were just talking about this. Now, Dave, you've seen 1,412,000 football games and called more than that. What?
Approximately.
How does that work? But Robbie Gould has missed left. He has missed right. Mm-hmm. It doesn't appear to be leg strength, because what do we know about athletes? When your legs go, they go, and they literally can go overnight. Any great athlete will tell you that. Mm-hmm. So if he's got the strength to still get the distance, even though, as you pointed out, the 50-yarder, he didn't exactly thump it. No. But if you're missing right and you're missing left and you're doing it in key moments, Adam, it's got to be in his head.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think this is an age thing. He's 34 now. He just turned 34 last week. That's for a kicker? That's not incredibly old. You could still have 5, 6, 7 more years.
Jan Stenner, who kicked until he was 109.
Yeah, I mean, there's kickers. Adam Vinatieri is still in the league. I think he's 42 now.
Right.
So
that's in kicker year or in people years. In kicker years, that's actually 17.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I think the math checks out.
Yeah.
He's making a lot of money, but, you know, the Bears, this has been a luxury for the Bears. That's what I think fans need to realize. Robbie Gould has been a luxury. A lot of teams during his career here with Chicago, a lot of teams have gone through some kicker problems. And I don't know that the Bears have a kicker problem right now. He's had a weird season. He made 17 straight.
Yeah, now he can't make anything.
Then he missed 3 in a row. Then he made 9 in a row. And now he's missed 3 in a row again.
It's bizarre.
I think it's just a funk. The contract is interesting, though, because they can save themselves $2.9 million if they let him go.
Is he worried about his Christmas shopping? Is he stressing out about something?
I don't know.
He had made, I believe, Adam, correct me if I'm wrong, 5 out of 6 50-yarders before the miss yesterday.
Well, that's the other thing that we take for granted. 50-yarders. Mm-hmm. 50 yards is now a must-make. 55 is where it gets into the, well, it's 55.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but up to 55 yards, you're expected to make it.
50 plus he'd made so far this
right,
year.
Right, So that's, I mean, that's just crazy. It's crazy. I always maintain that Scott Norwood having his life ruined over missing a 48-yarder to win the Super Bowl is ridiculous because a 48-yarder wasn't a chip shot. It's close to a chip shot with this league and the guys that are kicking now.
Well, and also, let's not ignore the other problems that showed up in the game. I mean, this is, for the second week in a row, this is a game that really shouldn't even been close in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
You look at... Look, the 49ers and Redskins had not won a road game all season until they came to Soldier Field. So that's a problem. And, you know, Kyle Long giving up two sacks and a fumble, that's a problem. Really, the offensive line, I think everyone on the offensive line either had a penalty or a sack allowed yesterday. Defensively, they couldn't cover Jordan Reed. They have a giant inside linebacker problem that needs to be fixed in the offseason. So,
well, how do you explain the Kyle Long situation? Because he had adapted to tackle really well, and there are patterns that repeat week to week, and defensive schemes can change, but the, you know, it's not like he just got out of college. It's like he took a mental day off yesterday.
He said,
and he took credit for it. He said he sucked.
Yeah, he did. And again, another guy who was at his locker, took responsibility. I think he pointed to poor technique. That's usually the case when you're a good player who just got beat a couple times. And both Trent Murphy and Ryan Kerrigan, two good pass rushers, got him yesterday. You know, but that's an interesting question, too. Because, yes, he has adapted the right tackle good enough. He's been pretty solid all year. But he used to be a Pro Bowler at right guard.
Mm-hmm.
So have overall, if you look big picture, are they not getting as much out of Kyle Long as they were before? I think that's a fair question. This is where you have to trust your self-scouting department and say, can he still get better at right tackle? Can he turn into a Pro Bowl?
But here's the thing right about tackle versus guard. It's an attention span thing. Guard, there's movement in guard. It's a more creative position. You're pulling. You're doing more things in the offense. Tackle, man, it's just running to me again because I got you.
Yeah, and you're even in run blocking, it's a lot different because at guard you're hitting somebody right away. At tackle, there's a little bit more technique involved, and you're playing much quicker players too. So you know, people say, "Oh, you're just sliding over." It's a lot different. It's a huge position change, and I just wonder if he's going to stay at that spot, and it might depend on, because I think overall we can agree that they need to make changes to the offensive line. They need to get better there. It could just depend on what tackles are available in the offseason, what guards are available, and where they're best able to address the whole entire thing, because obviously Kyle Long can move around if needed.
I was starting to feel really good, Adam, about the pass rush. And Willie Young seems to be regaining his form. And I think he had a sack yesterday. And Lamar Houston has been better, both guys coming off injuries. And early on, they were putting a lot of pressure on Kirk Cousins, and I know they were rolling Cousins out and running boots with him and stuff. But man, it just seemed like in the latter stages of the third quarter and the fourth quarter, they didn't put any pressure on him. He just sat back there, and on the drive to the winning field goal, he was able to hit some passes where there was no pressure on him.
Yeah, that's where you need depth, and I think roster attrition is starting to hurt the Bears. It's not just the outside linebackers, the pass rushers, but also inside. Let's not forget they lost Jeremiah Ratliff. They lost Ego Ferguson. So, you know, during the course of a game, you're going to miss Pernell McPhee when he's not out there. And the Bears didn't have Pernell McPhee yesterday. So I think that started to show up late in the game.
The league is a mess. I got to tell you something. As much as I love football, and I watch all of it, I've never been more disinterested in 90% of the league. This parity thing, which has pushed 80 to 90% of the league striving for 500, where 7-9 could win two of the divisions, where 8-8 is a legitimate second wild card shot. I mean, come on.
You know what's interesting? One of the official NFL Twitter accounts every single week is pushing these stats about how this season, more than ever, the games are closer. Like, all the games are ending close, and that's supposedly exciting, right?
Why is that a good thing? Because close games could mean mediocre football.
Well, and Steve, I think that's the case. Because they keep pushing this and how close all these games are, and it's exciting in the fourth quarter, and I'm with you. I'm going, I've never been more bored with the NFL in my life. I don't know. I think the officiating is part of it. I think the general talent pool.
I was going to say, is there not enough good players to go around for 32 teams?
It's possible. But I also think a lot of it has to do with both the officiating and the way. This is a slippery slope because you don't want to criticize the league for safety. It's a good thing that they're addressing that, but it also is having an effect on the gameplay.
Well, I went to my doctor, Will Smith, over the weekend, and he said that he'd look into it.
Oh, okay.
Good. Yeah. No, games are choppy. There's no question. There's no – you don't get that flow to them. Whether – you know, it seems you've got so many pass interference calls.
Well, how about this? How about Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers 3, 4, 5 years from now? All bye-bye? Who's filling those shoes?
It's a good question.
Well, Cam Newton, Russell Wilson.
Yeah, but they're not – it's not the same kind of player.
They're not, but they're pretty dynamic in their own right.
I can't be knocking Russell Wilson. He won me some money yesterday.
He won for you yesterday. Yeah. Cam Newton is having an unbelievable MVP season. I mean, those guys are fun to watch, but again, that's not a close game, 38-0.
No. Well, listen, we're just praying for Adam Hogue's survival through this. And where do we read your latest?
WGNradio.com/Bears. And if I can, let me leave you with this. I've been covering the Bears for 5 years now, and they've been in the playoff hunt for 4 of those. They haven't made the playoffs in any of those years. They're not going to make it this year, and I was trying to figure out why. In November and December, in those 5 seasons, the Bears are 17-25, including 7-14 at home.
No, you can't do that. You can't do that. No. You got to be able to close. It's not a winning formula. All right, Adam, thanks for depressing us even more. Appreciate that.
No problem, guys.
Talk to you later.
See you again next week.
He's happy to serve.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Ah, the sweet sounds of Steve Cockran Show musical director, John DeCause, and the love theme from Dr. Kevin Mose. And, you know, just like Paul Conrad, I think we'll probably do a lot of this this week, even though I think Doc is going to be on our Christmas special on Friday, the annual Steve Cochran Wang Dang Doodle Christmas special.
That's right. It's gonna be, that's a Wang Dang Doodle, too?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anytime I don't have a name for something, I just Wang Dang Doodle it.
The situation.
The situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Steve Cochran Christmas situation.
There you go.
Oh, that's
nothing,
better.
Nothing sings holidays like
situation. Yeah, it's a Steve Cochran Christmas situation.
Situation.
Mm-hmm. That is a good name.
All right. Wang Dang better.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right, I'll take that under advisement.
Okay.
But at any rate, I'm going to ask Doc to appear on that and check Dave for a hernia. Let me go to Dr. Kevin Most right now. Good morning, Doc. How are you?
You know, I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing fine. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Did you enjoy your week off?
Yeah. Got a lot done. You know, I mean, it wasn't really a vacation. Stayed in town. Just got a lot done. You know, when you have my kind of backbreaking schedule, Doc, I mean, there's days where I'm not out of here till 10:05.
Yeah.
And it's tough to get things done. So, I was able to get some things done. That's all. You know, it's a stressful, busy time of the year, but you got to try to enjoy it, don't you think?
Yeah, you know, there's days I don't get out of here till 10:05 as well. But
that's PM?
Yes. Oh, yo, you're talking about the morning. I'm sorry.
All right. So I want to talk to you about the fallacy of gluten for so many people. Yeah, you know, this, I remember, was it 10, 15 years ago when everything was fat-free? And suddenly people thought, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have 47 fat-free cookies because they're fat-free. I'm going to have fat-free yogurt because it's fat-free. You got to be careful, right, Doc?
Well, you do, but gluten is kind of a little bit different. And it's a, you know, it's a very interesting story when you really look at the history of celiac disease and people being on a gluten-free diet.
Well, my old friend John Panette, the late, great John Panette, said, you know what gluten is? It's the stuff that makes food taste good.
Yeah.
Let me start there. What is gluten?
Gluten's a protein. Gluten's a type of protein that's found in grains. You know, not all grains, but wheat and barley and rye. You know, that's a few of them. And there's other ones as well. But unfortunately, there's a lot of foods that contain wheat, barley, and rye. And that's gluten. And that's what makes the bread sticky. That's what makes, you know, bread rise. Things like that are the protein that we're concerned about.
All right. But don't you have to be diagnosed with celiac disease to need a gluten-free diet?
Well, the person who's going to get the biggest benefit is definitely someone that has celiac disease. We now know now that there's a condition called non-celiac gluten sensitivity, and that person doesn't have true celiac disease, but they are going to see some benefit by going on a gluten-free diet. But the patients that we really should be concerned about are the patients with celiac disease or the undiagnosed celiac disease patients. When I was in my residency, we felt that celiac disease was 1 in 10,000, and we found when it was rare. Now we really know that it's actually 1 in 100. So there's a lot more people with celiac disease than we know.
Now, how much of this is legitimate diagnosis versus self-diagnosis?
Yeah, that's interesting, too. A lot of people will actually self-diagnose. They feel terrible. They feel tired. They can't maintain their weight. And they say, you know what? I read about this. I heard about it on TV. I'm going to try this. And actually, they get better without even going to the doctor, without having the blood test done, without having the biopsy done. So a lot of it is undiagnosed, or a lot of it is diagnosed by the patient themselves, and they just change their diet without seeing a physician.
Could you hurt yourself by going on a gluten-free diet if you don't eat it?
You really aren't going to hurt yourself. There's no damage that's going to be done by going on that diet. You're going to limit your food resources, you know, although it has changed dramatically, but you're not going to harm yourself by going on that diet.
All right. So when we come back, let's talk about the symptoms, what people go through, and, you know, how to actually find out if you are truly in need of this. And continue to examine this for a second on whether or not it's, you know, the health issue of the moment, or if it's something we've blown out of proportion. By the way, Doc, during the break, if you'd also figure out why we have so many nut allergies now when we didn't have them before, and why I can't put my smartphone down. If you could figure all that out.
Give me a couple minutes.
All right. Well, that's all you have. Doctor Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine, Impact every day. How are things at the hospital?
Things are good. Very busy. It's nice to kind of see a lull around Christmas time, but unfortunately we're not seeing that. Very busy time here.
Yeah, and it's tough for people to be in the hospital over the holidays, but in your hospital, people stay at it like it's a Four Seasons.
Yeah, we are pretty fortunate here. We have a well-designed hospital, and the rooms are beautiful, and we try to keep people as comfortable as they can because they're going through difficult times often when they're here.
I usually go in. Can I get a room?
Yeah.
Steve, get out. No, seriously, can I get a... And then the security tosses me. Again, brought to you by Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day. We're talking about this gluten-free stuff. Okay, so symptoms for people who may have celiac disease.
Yeah, so symptoms of celiac disease, you can have... It's very broad spectrum of symptoms, but you can have bloating, you can have gas, you can be tired, you can actually feel depressed. Some people have diarrhea, some people are constipated, some people have headaches, some people have nausea. And you can, as I go down that list of symptoms, you can say, well, how do you make this diagnosis? And that's why...
Yeah, and then like IBS, nobody understands IBS, sounds like the same thing.
Exactly. A lot of people will think this is IBS and say, you know what, I'm going to treat you for irritable bowel. And that's why sometimes patients tolerate it, because the symptoms are kind of all over the place. And another reason that it takes in some patients 6 to 10 years before they realize that they have it and get diagnosed.
By the way, Irritable Bowel is the worst superhero ever. Of all the Marvel comic superheroes, remember Irritable Bowel?
Mm. Yeah.
He actually wasn't a superhero. He was one of the bad guys. Remember Batman versus Irritable Bowel? Ugh. Man, that was awful.
Batman always won.
Anyway, back to you, Doc. So if you have those symptoms and you've been ignoring them, it's simple as a GP check, isn't it?
It often is, and it's probably one of the more bigger points that we need to make on this, is if you have children who have some of these symptoms and you go into the doctor and they start to fall off that growth curve, that doctor's going to want to know why, what's going on. Mainly because the part of the body that's affected by this, what happens with people who have celiac disease is once they take anything with gluten, the body makes the antibodies and makes this terrible flared up immune response that damages the small intestines. And that's where we get a lot of our nutrients absorbed from, a lot of the minerals. So when that's injured, we end up where children fall off the growth curve. They start to lose weight. So when we say we put them on a gluten-free diet, it's really not a diet. Matter of fact, most people who need it will actually gain weight, become stronger, and feel a lot better.
So we talked about the fact that gluten's in an awful lot of things and you do have to limit your diet, but how about just telling people a list of foods that they can't eat?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting now. The gluten-free diet business is huge, $15 billion. So As far as regular food, non-processed food that you can go to the grocery store or restaurants, you know, you can still eat eggs and meat and fish and fruit and vegetables. And there's a lot of flours that are made without wheat. So there's flours, buckwheat, and corn meal, millet, potatoes. So you can still eat a lot of those foods. So it's going to limit your food selection somewhat. But right now, walk through the grocery next time you're there and look to see how many products are marked gluten-free. Grocery stores often have an entire section of gluten-free samples.
And are those FDA standards?
Well, they are FDA standards, but to be honest with you, they're more marketing standards than they are FDA.
So you're paying more for something that may or may not be gluten-free or helpful.
Well, that, and if you put gluten-free on it and they still have symptoms, you've just decimated your company because it's going to go wildfire in the media and you will not sell another product.
I don't know. I mean, I certainly, people with celiac disease, like Steve King, Steve and Johnny, he had celiac disease. Ann Johnson's, who used to produce the show, she's been dealing with it for years. I mean, I really feel for those people, but man, it does feel like a gimmick in a lot of ways. I know it's legitimate. I know it's a legitimate medical concern, but for a lot of people, I just don't think it applies.
If it's 1% of the population, so 99% of the population, it's really not going to apply that much. But for that 1%, it makes a huge difference because these people, if they're not getting the nutrients, you know, iron and B12 are absorbed in the small intestine. If they're not getting that, then they're anemic. They start to feel tired. They have a higher chance of cancer. So the people who actually truly have it really need to get into it. This small portion of the population that has non-celiac gluten sensitivity, those are the patients that say, you know what, after I had pizza, I don't really feel good. You know, I'm going to try to stay away from that. And if those are the patients that helps a little bit, that's great. But the true celiac disease patient needs to be identified, needs to have those tests so that they do end up being treated properly. It'll make a vast difference in their life.
I only got 30 seconds here. Can you tell me if President Carter is really out of the woods? It's really an amazing story that the cancer that we thought would kill him, he's 90 years old, is now apparently in remission.
Yeah, you know, we talked about this last week while you were off, but it's absolutely fascinating. You know, the advancements that have been made in melanoma are great. Is he out of the woods? No, he's not out of the woods, but he took what was a fairly aggressive death sentence, and now looks to be where they will say he's cancer-free. There are still melanoma cells in his body, but he's going to continue with treatment. But boy, the drug that he is on, Keytruda, is really going to extend his life. And this is outstanding for people with melanoma. So it's a great drug, and I think we're going to see Jimmy Carter around for a while.
I like the idea, by the way, of science and the power of prayer, because he's a very spiritual guy.
He is a very spiritual guy.
And, you know, and that's something that's good for the soul and the health as well. Hey, listen, thanks, Doc, as always. And Merry Christmas to you. I'll talk to you before then, but my best to your family.
You got it. Thanks. Same to you.
All right. That's Northwestern Medicine. An impact every day. And Dr. Kevin Most.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Radio is the sound of Chicago.
720 WGN.
Seven:14 in the morning, and the news. While I was out, the mayor had another rough week. I don't know. Is he on his trip to Cuba this week? Is that next week?
Next week, I think he leaves for Cuba.
Okay,
but don't say that out loud to him. He'll get a little upset.
Yeah, well, that's just one of the ridiculous Rom moments of the last couple of weeks. Where do we stand with Rom being on the show again, Kev?
Working on it. Probably not going to happen for a little bit, but I'm trying.
What about the governor?
Governor sooner than later.
This week?
I'm hoping for it, yes.
Okay.
But you know who we are having on this week? I know you're going to get back to Rom. Dee Snider.
Well, they're often confused with each other.
That's what I mean.
Rom and Dee. Dee and Rom. So here's the deal. If Rom were to step down, what happens? Now, the chance he's going to step down is very slim, obviously. But if Rom were to step down, who would be the next mayor? A lot of you would think it'd be Dave Enett. It's not true. The next mayor of the city of Chicago would be Brandon O'Reilly.
Oh, I agree.
Vice mayor.
I completely agree.
The vice mayor. He was put in this nominal, what is it, ceremonial? It's probably the best term for it, position. But Brent, did I say O'Reilly?
Brandon Riley. No, you said Riley.
Brandon Riley. Riley would be the mayor until the city council would elect the next mayor. So here's the situation. This is why I always talk about, okay, now what? Gary McCarthy went away, and I said, okay, now what? Does that stop protests? Has that fixed anything?
No.
No. Okay, Anita Alvarez is in this re-election fight, which will be solved in March. She steps down now? Okay, now what? Point being, it feels good when you get your way. And I'm not minimizing the anger in the community about the mismanagement of the city on all levels, and certainly the mismanagement of the Laquan McDonald case. But how good is it going to get, other than feeling better about it, that people listen to you, if the mayor goes away and if Anita Alvarez goes away? Anita Alvarez going away, that could happen as soon as, you know, the election, which is coming up.
Yeah.
The mayor going away is a different story. The mayor has not answered for his part in this. His apology speech last week, no, not enough.
You don't think the op-ed piece in the Tribune did it either?
No.
Okay.
No, no.
No, I don't either. I was just...
throwing Gary McCarthy under the bus, no, no. The mayor needs to accept that people are angry, acknowledge that anger, and he needs to do more than say sorry. And I got to be honest, is emotional as he was during his speech to city council, I mean, is he stable enough to stay in the job right now? I'm not kidding around here. Because he seems like he's about to crack.
Well, a lot of people are asking that. I mean, but that's a very fair question to be asking at this point.
So Brendan Riley would become the mayor until the city council would elect the next mayor. And, of course, who doesn't have full confidence in the city council? You understand what I'm saying?
You mean the same council that's rubber stamped pretty much everything?
The same city council that said when $5 million was going to be paid to the mother that didn't do her job in raising Laquan McDonald, when that $5 million is going to be paid, the city council said, yeah, look, we got lunch. Can we get out of here?
Yep.
So they're going to elect the next mayor. So before you shove Rahm to the door, maybe you should try to get Rahm to use the talents and the wisdom that he has to fix the city that he loves. I don't have any question that he loves the city. The question is, does he love the city more than he loves the job and himself? To own it, get it right, and fix it. And by the way, if he's broken laws, and if he slow-walked the Laquan McDonald case, it's been alleged now for almost a month, if he slow-walked that case to win an election, oh, he ought to pay the price for that.
Oh, absolutely.
But nobody has any proof of that yet.
And he denies that steadfastly.
As you would expect, yeah. Right? So if there were to be a recall election, it would be a different story. Oh, wait. Oh, you can't recall the mayor in Chicago.
No.
There's no provision to recall the mayor. Of course there's not. LaShawn Ford was on with Roe, I think it was Friday, and Roe and Anna did a nice job asking him questions about this legislation he's pushing forward. And I like LaShawn Ford, but the legislation has very little chance of even getting a vote. And if it does get a vote and then there were a recall election, then a special election would be called. All of this costs money
and
that the city doesn't have. So, again, before we throw anybody else out, other than feeling good about it, let's consider now what.
And keep in mind, too, even if a law like that was approved, that doesn't go into effect tomorrow.
No, absolutely not.
That's going to be, by 2018, the law will be in effect. Well, then guess what? Rahm's 1 year away from.
Yeah, and all of this, of course, would be subject to court challenges, and you know how fast the court works.
Right.
So, but the short term is, if Rahm steps down, the city council, who hasn't done their job in this case by most accounts, and that's certainly my view, they would pick the new mayor.
Right.
Well, I feel so much better now. We'll get to the Hawks Express coming up. Stand by for that. Also, Dan Hampton will melt down in, what do we say, about 20 minutes? 22
minutes?
Put
the big boy pants on.
So you got that.
I think he's done melting.
To look forward to. You think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You think now? It's probably the five stages of grief. But I don't think he's at acceptance yet.
I don't think he'll ever get to acceptance.
No. I don't even think he's bargaining. No, I think the bargaining days are over. I think he's probably still at anger. Yes. Yeah. Anger would be the one. Depression will be in the off season till they figure it out. Actually, I don't know that Hamp gets depressed. I think he just gets angry and he's either happy or angry.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. What about OB?
OB's mostly angry.
Yes, he is.
And by the way, two guys that size, you don't want them angry.
No.
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 Well, 7:25, the next Republican debate, last one of the 2015 year, is tomorrow night on CNN. And Rand Paul will be on the main stage. Chris Christie will be on the main stage. Huckabee will not. I'm doing this off memory. I think I'm right about all this. Huckabee will not be there. But there's a question is, The general question is, does Trump get the main podium place? Or based on the new Des Moines Register poll, does Ted Cruz go in that spot?
That's a good question. Are you asking? I don't know the answer. That's a great question.
There is no try. Do or do not.
That, by the way, is Ted Cruz on a really on a real clear moment.
Oh, you know what? Trump will be center stage again.
Is that official?
That's according to CNN. Yep.
Okay, so Trump gets the center podium, and he and Cruz should be fighting a little bit.
They love me. They love me.
Carson and Cruz on either side.
Donald Trump said yesterday that he is way more logical. Was it logical? Was it the shot that Ted Cruz took a shot at Donald Trump in a private meeting? Remember when this happened to Romney and the audio got leaked? And you could argue that that cost Romney the election in 2012. But Ted Cruz said something about Donald Trump that got under Trump's skin, because anybody that criticizes Trump gets under Trump's skin. What did Cruz say?
He says, I have far better judgment.
Judgment, that's it.
Yeah.
And Trump said, I have far better judgment than Ted Cruz. So, texters, 312-981-7200, give me an analogy for that. Isn't that like saying I'm a far better husband than O.J. Simpson? I mean, come on. There's got to be something that works. 312-981-7200. Really? Your standard of comparison is Ted Cruz? It's just amazing. By the way, I've written a new, and this is the most sane I've ever been about Donald Trump. Everybody thinks I'm just out to shoot Trump. I'm just out to try to find somebody in this clown car of both parties that could actually be a successful president for the rest of us. You're going to be president of the United States. You're not president of the Democrats. You're not president of the Republicans. You're president of everybody. And we need to stop worrying about what makes us feel good and start worrying about what's going to make the country better.
And I still don't understand why we're having all of the debates more than a year ahead of the election. With the way this world is in turmoil, things can happen between now and then. I haven't watched one of the debates, and won't until next year.
See, I have to.
I know you
do. I have to. I got to tweet it tomorrow night. Ugh. The RNC and the DNC make a lot of money off these debates.
Oh.
Think that might have something to do with it?
Yeah, that's an economic reason.
Yeah. So here's the deal. Again, text in if you've got a better analogy than O.J. Simpson's, not as good a husband as I am, for Ted Cruz and Donald Trump fighting. Trump said he has much better judgment than Ted Cruz will ever have. And I think he added na-na-na-na-na-na.
Na-na-na-na boo.
Oh, the blog. So I wrote a new blog about Trump. And it's I really believe this. I believe it's a reasoned take on why Trump's policies, the few that he's actually elucidated, see what I did there? The few that he spelled out, won't work. And if those won't work, then he can't be president.
Well, it seems simple, doesn't it?
So where are we going to find that blog, Kev?
I'll be up at WGNradio.com and, of course, on your social media pages, Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show and @Cochran Show on Twitter. It's not up yet, though, but it'll be up shortly.
What do you mean? Should have been up last week.
Oh, last week, the one you posted?
I thought you just posted one today. But I was off, so I didn't have a chance to plug it incessantly.
No, it's up. Yeah. That one's up. I thought you had a new one. Yeah. I'm sorry.
So I hope you'll check that out. And for those of you who refuse to hear anything negative about Trump, you can feel free to hate text me at 312-981-7200 right after you get in your analogy about Ted Cruz.
Texters are a little feisty today.
Yeah, feisty and filthy. We'll do the Hawks Express in a few minutes here. We should feel better about something, because even after that terrible Bears game, you had a great palate cleanser last night. You had Kanter getting the first second assist on the first goal. But anyway, the point streak continued, and a 4-0 Hawks win over our former hated rivals Vancouver, which is just not a very good team anymore. So that was a great, and when all else in your life turns sour, know that you have the Blackhawks. So we'll get to the Hawks Express and replay that for you coming up. And the big story is next.
An animal!
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Hamp was on the field with the state champs. Was that a halftime? Yeah, at halftime. And, it wasn't a great first half, but we still had hope. There was still hope, and the kids were great and all that. And it was great for Hamp to be out there. But then after the game, if you had the radio on for the best post-game period, that's the Hamp, OB, and Cause show with their driver, Mark Carmen, You would have heard, you know, when like Mary kids, like if you saw a bull, like an animated bull on a cartoon and like smoke would come out of his nose. Yeah, that's what Hamp sounded like.
Yeah.
Yeah, he sounded like that. Hamp, did you kill Robbie Gold yesterday? It sounded like you were going to murder him.
Did I say happy holidays yet?
Merry Christmas, buddy.
Yeah, you know, let me just say this. You know, it's not only, you know, a virus here in Chicago. There's a lot of sad football being played across the NFL right now. And it was almost such a respite from one to see these young kids. All the different state champions were introduced by the Bears during halftime, and I, you know, was up on the field to greet them. And you talk about kids that, you know, were playing the game for the right reasons and playing the game the right way. It was really refreshing. And, you know, you contrast that. You know, all I've heard since Robbie Gould, remember, he's no longer Gold, Robbie Gould missed that kick, is all these people, whether they're coaches, players, media, whatever, oh, he really works hard. You know, he's really working hard. Now, I got a question for you, Mr. Cochran.
Yes.
How if you're getting paid $4 million, how hard a work is it to kick a ball? Okay. So, you know, I don't need to hear that. All I got to tell you is in the big picture of NFL life, it's about cutting it, getting it done. And it's 2 weeks in a row that he has lost a game. And basically, you know, I like what Matt Forte said yesterday. You know, just like good teammates, they're all trying to circle him and kind of protect him. But his assertion that, hey, you know, that was fourth down. We still had three downs where we could have done something, maybe score, and made him a moot point is entirely valid. And, you know, that's the thing about this team. You know, 1 week, then, you know, we're down in the red zone yesterday, and we're trying to score, and it really wasn't, you know, the greatest three selections in my mind. But the week before, when we get the big kickoff return, we curl up in a ball and try to get the ball in the middle of the field. So it's almost like, you know, we don't have a real overarching theme about getting after people, and that's one thing that OB, the great Ed Obradovich, was stressing yesterday, that not only these last three games, they're meaningless now, but make them mean something to this team and its future by going after people, being assertive on offense, going after people downfield defense. Hey, let's get after folks. Let's don't play passive and let them take the fight to us.
Well, let me ask you a couple things about what you just said. First off, to me, a kicker at the National Football League, you're hired, and by the way, he's a great guy. He's a fabulous guy. That has nothing to do with this conversation. You can be a fabulous guy and not be the kicker for the Bears anymore. But you can miss a kick in the first quarter. You shouldn't, but you could. You could miss a kick in the second quarter. Again, you shouldn't, but you can. You can't miss a game winner, and you can't miss one that could keep you from going into overtime and losing, especially coming off that Packers win where these last 2 weeks should have been celebrations and not miserable. That's part one. Part two is John Fox had a bit of a reputation, and maybe it's the GM as well, of getting rid of guys who aren't getting it done. So are we going into a phase here in these last three games, Hamp, where if guys are just going to phone it in because there's no shot at the playoffs, that they're not going to be on the team next year?
Well, and that's what you're going to find out. You know, I got to tell you this. You know, this Martellus Bennett thing, it has quietly been resolved, but if you look at it, there's a lot under the surface. And to me, they're basically making a decision that we're only going to move forward with people that care about the team more than themselves.
Right.
And so that's a good thing. And I love your analysis of a kicker. Okay, you know, for most people, you know, you think that, oh, he's got a jersey and a helmet, and he's, you know, we basically treated kickers like the guy that would put the butter on the plate at dinner at night, you know, like, get out of here. I just got to tell you, you know, these kicks, these are, the, you know, defining moments of games. And, you know, when a kicker used to miss, you know, Butler would miss one, and we're up 35-7, and instead of 38-7, it's only 35. Well, okay, we can live with it. And I think I told you this one time. I remember he was struggling. We're in Denver, and he missed two or three kicks during the game. We go into overtime, and finally we get down there, and he makes this one. And then after the game, everybody's all giggly and all that, and he goes up to Dick and he goes, Yeah, you finally, Dick goes, thank God you made that. He goes, yeah, would you have still loved me if I would have missed it? Dick has said, oh, I would have still loved you, but I would have missed you too. So, at some point.
It may not be fair, but you're paid to deliver. That's the position. You got to get it done when you have to get it done.
That's called being a professional. You gotta be able to make it happen.
Right. And well, you're right about Matt Forte too. It's great that Forte rallied the troops. It's great the other guys on the team were saying the same thing. But you know what? Yeah, you should have gotten it done before you needed him. But when you needed him, he didn't get it done. So that's why you got to consider possibly other options if there are any. But as thin as a talent is in the National Football League, yikes.
You know, true character is revealed in adversity, mm-hmm. and. You have to remain confident. I've been humbled day in, day out this year playing a new position, but it's no longer a new position. I am the right tackle, and I take full ownership of my mistakes, and I won't let it happen again.
I love the honesty from Kyle Long. You know, it's pretty rare amongst pro athletes these days. But, yeah, not a great game. And, you know, Dave, you know this. Hamp used to have tackles for lunch.
Yes.
He had offensive linemen for lunch, and then he'd snack on offensive linemen afterwards if he got hungry. Mm-hmm. Let me get you in here with Dan Hampton. Dave.
Well, let's start there, Hamp. Obviously, it wasn't Kyle Long's best game, but are we at a point where you look at this and you say, okay, you got to put him back at right guard?
Well, all year, OB has been beating the drum saying we got to move him back, but out of necessity, you know, for this year, for this time and place, he had to play tackle. And all in all, you know, you got to give him gold star for effort. And yesterday, as you said, was not his best effort, but he had a lot of help. You know, the rest of the offensive line had their worst outing of the year. In the first half, every one of them either gave up a sack, had a penalty, or did something else really stupid that stopped the drive. You know, this game yesterday, it was bizarre. We started off punt, fumble, punt. Then three out of four possessions, we scored a touchdown. For the first time all year, we scored not only one, but two touchdowns in the third quarter. But then down the stretch, when you had to make it happen, we go punt, punt, shank, field goal. So it was easily the worst performance by both the offensive line and the defensive line on the year. And explain that to me, because we know what the Redskins were. They were a team that was winless on the road for, what, 2 years or something like that? So, you know, I've heard of playing down to your opponent, but we went, a flight or two below that and allowed them to take the fight to us, and we never, you know, got engaged them in the battle.
You know what? I kind of looked at this defense and thought, in the first half, they were putting some pressure on Kirk Cousins, and they did some things to, I think, to get him away from the pass rush a little more in the second half. But bottom line, Washington 7 of 12 on third down yesterday.
And they held the ball for 10 minutes longer than, 35 minutes to 20. You know, and that's basically what I was saying. Yeah, they won the battle at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, I hope everybody is on the Jay Cutler bandwagon now, because, you know, obviously he was able to keep us in the ball game. He had a quarterback rating of 117 or something like that. I mean, he played pretty damn well for his offensive line collapsing at every play. But all in all, as you said, the Redskins, they are just like the 49ers. You know, every team is not devoid of talent. They have some decent players, but you cannot let them dictate how the game's going to be played. And what do? In the opening series, we allow them to go on a 15-play. I was standing Cochran, I'm standing right there at the 20, and I mean, it was like they're coming from the south end zone, coming, and they 15 play, 80 yard drive,
right,
touchdown, and it was like, I don't know.
What dance marching.
For the way the game's going to be played. No matter what we did, the Redskins were going to take control.
There's two things here that trouble me that I think are fairly apparent. One is Jay Cutler's not a kid anymore, and Cutler's playing really well. Is the window of opportunity with Jay Cutler going to match the learning curve of this team?
I think so. And you know, as we say, I think Ryan Pace is, you know, look at his draft. You know, Kevin White, and from all indications, if the kid does get healthy, and there's really no reason to say he won't, but if he gets healthy, he could be a special player. But Eddie Goldman, I'm telling you, the kid is going to be a bona fide, fine football player.
Sure looks like it.
The third-round pick, Grissou, has started. We've already talked about that it would not be my choice, but at least he's proven that he can play in the league. The fourth-round pick has made a huge contribution. The fifth-round pick started every game. So, I mean, he's doing a lot of good things of rebuilding this roster. But, you know, one thing that – and I got to tell you, last night on Fox – they showed some highlights. The Carolina Panthers, who are undefeated, came out, and did they say, well, we're undefeated, we're just going to hand the ball off and kind of go down the field? No, they came out throwing it, and they threw two bombs to Ted Ginn in the first quarter. Now, this guy can run. He's one of the fastest players in the NFL. But he ran, you know, I mean, it was, you know, 60, 70, 80-yard bombs. Well, let me tell you something. I don't know who they play next week, but they're going to be scared to death of Ted Ginn. And that's only going to increase the operating room for Cam Newton and the running game. So, you know, it's just the opposite with our team. Due to a lack of receiver speed, we are being compressed weekly, play by play, quarter by quarter. And unfortunately, we don't have anybody with speed. Eddie Royal, he was eligible and up yesterday, and he played a little bit, but still, we've got to be able to back people off. And until we do, or have the players that are capable of doing that, you know, it's always going to be tough sledding.
Am I old school here, or is the rest of the – and maybe the NFL's bulletproof when it comes to this, but I want to bring it back to what you started with. There's some bad football being played. When you got two divisions, it could be one at 8-8 or 7-9. Two, not one, two divisions. When you got two or three teams at 8-5 in both conferences that may make a wild card, I mean, your second wild card, both sides, is going to be 500 or less. It's just a lot of bad football, and I'm not a fan. Is the NFL bulletproof from that?
I don't know. And, you know, I hate to say, you know, you get what you pay for. Well, this is what they wanted, and they wanted parity.
Right.
They wanted everybody at 7-7 fighting it out the last 2 weeks of the season to see who's going to win, and now you got it in the NFC East. You know, that team we saw yesterday, oh, yeah, that's right. They left the field leading the NFC East. I got to tell you, I'm not impressed. And so, you know, where's it going to end? I don't know. But I do know this, that in the big picture, yeah, I like the fact that maybe the Vikings could be 3-13 every year. I like the fact that Detroit, I don't care about them.
Right.
We're playing down with them.
Yep.
We're not inspiring our team to play better for whatever reason. This team basically mailed it in against the 49ers and got slapped. And this past week, we came out. It was the night of the zombies. Nobody was getting after it, and we allowed them to take a 14-0 lead before we ever really engaged, which was 1:10 to go in the first half. So, again, this goes back to the guy that's supposed to be, you know, sitting at the driver's seat, turning the key to get it started. Well, that's John Fox, and it hadn't happened the last 2 weeks.
Stan Hampton, nice job with the show yesterday. Very entertaining, you know, in the midst of the pain. You know, we talked about the five stages of grief. We decided, Hamp, that you only have happiness and anger. You don't do the other stages.
Yeah, I don't. I jump straight to the cut to the chase, right?
And even though the new season of The Bachelor starts tonight, I just don't see us being able to put together a makeup dinner for you and Robbie Gold until he makes another kick.
Hey, I'll take our Gino's East Pizza with Kaz and OB any day over that deal.
You're the best, man. Thank you.
Go Bears!
That sounded a little half-hearted.
I think it was half-hearted. It just took all his energy.
Yeah, I think that was it.
Sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. And, of course, we want to note the passing of Jay Cutler's brother-in-law, Kristen Cavallari's brother, who struggled with alcoholism, as was pointed out by her and the family. And his car was found abandoned, and his body was found about 3 miles from the car. Was it Utah?
Utah.
Yeah, in Utah. Terrible story.
Very desolate area.
So, a terrible story, very sad. And you know, condolences to Jay Cutler, Kristen Cavallari, and their extended family.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
good morning, Dean.
Hello there.
I don't know if you remember me. I used to do the show.
I'm told that you were gone last week.
Yes, and yes, I was gone last week.
Honestly,
yes,
didn't notice.
You suck.
I did. I was pretty sure I was doing the segments with you last week.
Well, how weird is that? That must have been awkward for you when you figured it out.
I just a moment ago, I was told that that was not you last week.
I have big news. I don't know if you heard.
No, I haven't heard.
Adele's coming to Chicago.
No.
Yeah.
You know, it would be great if
I sang it right now. Hello from the other side. Hello. No, that's the wrong one.
Wow. I was just thinking, I happen to be free next July 10th, 11th, and 13th. If there's any way that you can arrange for her to be here those nights.
Here's what we do. Dean and I go to this concert, and we don't want to make a bother. We don't want people just paying attention to us. But for the encore, Dean takes off his shirt, and he gets on my shoulders, and he pumps his fists.
Right.
Adele loves that.
I've already started removing my body hair, so I don't scare anyone.
You guys waxing or shaving? Well, you know what? Forget it.
Well, that's a little personal, don't you think? Yeah, I mean, it's not like we're going to share everything.
I start, Andre, as you know, I'm Greek, so I start off with the shaving, and then I finish it up with the waxing.
And then he brings in some C4 to take care of what he missed.
And then, like, a half an hour later, I got to do it again. I'm very manly.
So these tickets will be gone, what, in about a minute and a half?
These are going to be gone pretty fast, even though there are three shows, July 10th, 11th, 13th. Tickets are going to go on sale this coming Thursday morning, conveniently, for your holiday gift-giving pleasure.
Never mind, I'll find someone like you.
Now, she's doing three shows here. Three shows here.
You want me to keep singing?
Why go the show? We can just listen to you.
Yeah. Well, my hearing will be gone by July 10th.
Dude, rumor has it. I know the whole Adele songbook.
I think you just sang a Fleetwood Mac song.
No, wasn't that rumor has it? Isn't that a song of hers?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I think so, yeah.
She's doing, I'm a little offended. She's doing three nights here, but six in New York, six in Los Angeles. What's that about?
Well, she's British. She probably missed the math.
What is that about?
Yeah, I don't know.
She does have, you know, the way these concerts are spaced out, there is a little wiggle room, you know, for adding more shows. So hopefully when it sells out immediately, as it will. This is her first North American tour in 5 years.
Paul Coit knows her. We should have Paul put some pressure on her.
All right, let's do that.
Okay.
Let's do that. She's got her first full concert in 4 years that will be on TV tonight, Adele Live in New York City, at 9 o'clock on NBC tonight. So
I'd watch that. Are you going to watch that? I might watch that.
I like to watch the Channel 9 news on WGN.
Sapelson?
I believe he is.
I've never liked him.
He's back.
Yeah, I've never liked him.
Again, tickets are going to go on sale Thursday morning at 10. They'll range $39.95 to $149.50, so not super crazy expensive.
They're not at all. That's pretty great, price-wise.
Four ticket limit, strictly enforced, they tell me, will be available at the United Center box office and also at Ticketmaster. So, you know, we can... well, we'll be done waiting in line to see Star Wars. We'll be done with that, and then we can just go straight to the line for Adele.
Good news is if you don't get tickets, I will be singing all of Adele's songs out in Pioneer Court.
Yes. Oh, God, please get him tickets.
Yeah, so you'll be warned.
Hello from the other side.
I've never heard her. What, is that what she
sounds
like?
Just,
no.
I'm going to shock you. Sorry. She sounds even better than that.
No, I would disagree.
Yeah. Mike and Molly, done?
Adele just got a haircut, and it's the picture of her is trending online.
She's beautiful. She looks fantastic.
Yeah, she's got a little shorter bob hairdo. Bob didn't know about that when she got the haircut. But
why is that called? Let me go to Andre on this. Why is that called a bob cut?
I don't know why. It's because it doesn't. When I think of bob, I think of a Dorothy Hamill. Remember the little Pixies?
Sure.
I don't really consider this a bob, but remember when Jennifer Aniston did this too, you guys? Yeah.
Oh, do I ever.
Oh, backlash.
If I do anything, I keep up on people's hairstyles.
Yeah. I just look at old pictures of myself and cry.
Yeah, I think we have bobs, don't we?
You guys have a bob.
I've got more of a Steve.
I have more of a Simon Eyes.
If you have Simon Eyes, just wax it. Dean waxes everything, top to bottom.
I love a good waxing.
All right, so Mike and Molly, done?
Yeah, according to Rondi Reed, Chicagoan Rondi Reed, she posted on her Facebook that the cast has known about it for some time.
Can I ask you who Rondi Reed is?
Rondi Reed, very, very, very well-known Chicago
Apparently
theater
Apparently not that well-known.
Well, no, she is, though. In theater circles, super well-known.
Okay, well, I didn't know who she was.
Area, but on the show, you ever watch the show Mike and Molly?
Sure. Yeah.
She plays the policeman's mother.
Yeah.
The tough mom on the show.
Billy Gardell's wife.
Billy Gardell's wife.
And Billy's an old buddy.
Billy Gardell's mother. Billy Gardell's mother.
No. Oh, Rondi plays Billy Gardell's wife. I thought you were talking about
Molly.
Molly.
Melissa. What?
What's that first? It's a really good report so far.
Wow. I think I may have been on vacation last week.
Well, obviously, Melissa McCarthy is a huge movie star, right. and Billy Gardell. By the way, have you interviewed Billy?
He's a very nice guy.
Couldn't be a better guy.
Everybody on that show. Melissa is incredibly nice. Rondi Reed, I've known for years.
Me too, big fan.
Because, as you know, she's very big in theater in Chicago.
Yep.
Another Chicago influence there. Swoozie Kurtz, who plays Molly's mom on the show.
Yeah.
Also with Chicago roots. So there's... everybody's doing pretty well.
Isn't Billy coming back to town, Kev?
Well, he's going to be on January 6th to talk about the season premiere of the final season.
Oh, okay. Mike and Mike. All right. I think he's coming to town, too, in the spring.
All right. Get him in studio, maybe.
Eva Longoria is on a new show called...
Telenovela.
Right. So is Lourdes Suter yet?
They should, yeah. Lourdes and Dan... they're the ones that started the telenovela spoof craze that is taking over America right now. But Eva Longoria is on this new show that premiered last week. But the big news is she's got engaged to her longtime boyfriend, Jose Antonio Bastón.
Is that his real name or is that his telenovela name?
How about that for a fantastic name?
That's got to be his telenovela name.
Hola, I am Jose Antonio Bastón.
Exactly. Exactly.
Dun, 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 dun. She announced the news yesterday, as anybody would when you have big news like that. The first thing you do is go to social media, and she posted a picture of her and Jose Antonio Bastón kissing in the desert in Dubai.
Yeah.
With the following caption, so this happened.
Wow. It's very exciting.
And again, repeating, Adele got a haircut.
I like Eva Longoria. By the way, you've interviewed her, right? She is tiny.
Yeah.
She's a foot and a half tall.
She's this big.
She is 18 inches tall. As a matter of fact, it's been a long time, but the last time I interviewed her, she was on that Desperate Housewives show.
Right.
And we were going from one studio to another, and I actually carried her in the palm of my hand.
So people can visualize, the size of a Barbie doll?
Yeah.
She's about 2 inches shorter than that.
Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful and tiny.
Very, very gorgeous. Very gorgeous lady, yes.
Now, did you talk to Tina Fey and Amy Poehler?
I did.
Did they ask about me?
No.
Heard me sing.
You know what? Now that I think about it, maybe they did say, Chicago, what's up with that guy that won't stop singing? I didn't make the connection really until just now. That could be it.
You know, they call me the Ronnie Woo-Woo of the Dell impersonators.
That's right. They have this really funny new movie that's coming out. Unfortunately, it's opening on the same day as Star Wars. So I'm not sure who's going to go. I guess, you know, if you're not interested in Star Wars, you maybe will be interested in Tina Fey's and Amy Poehler's movie, Sisters, really funny. But when I talked with them in California a couple of weeks ago, they've done the Golden Globe Awards and done an amazing job for the last 3 years. This year they are not. Ricky Gervais is going to be back.
Or as I call him, Ricky Jerkface.
Do you not like him, too?
No, I really don't.
Oh, really? Is it like Gwen Stefani hatred?
No. He just tries too hard to tell everybody, how witty he is. And I'm not like that. Hello from the others!
So I asked Tina and Amy, I asked them about, not being on the Golden Globes this year.
Can I tell you how much that I'll miss both of you on the Golden Globes? Love Ricky Gervais, but I'm gonna miss you guys. Are you gonna miss doing that a little bit, or are you glad it's?
Well, I was thinking this is the first year that we haven't over Christmas been thinking about what to do. That's nice.
I think over Christmas, knowing that you're not jumping into a gown right after Christmas. Yeah. Oh, Ricky must be on such a diet right now, Ricky. Please wear a size 4 gown, Ricky.
Something strapless, Ricky.
I think we'll miss it. I mean, we used to actually have a lot of fun, and we used to always have a really fun party afterwards. But it'll be nice to just relax over Christmas too.
It kind of will. I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah, it'll be nice for them just to enjoy the show as civilians this year.
I have a list of some Star Wars themed gifts for the holidays. See if you want any of these. Revenge of the Sith air sickness bags.
That sounds good.
Yeah, these are actual. These were made. How about a C-3PO tape dispenser where the scotch tape rolls out from between his legs?
I like that.
Very odd.
I like that.
A Wampa arm ice scraper. What's a Wampa?
I don't know.
I mean, it looks like Chewbacca's arm, but it's got claws.
Wampa. Not familiar.
Yeah, do you know what a Wampa is?
Oh, yeah.
What's a Wampa?
Isn't that the, that's the one that Grand Moff Tarkin rode? Assume.
Oh, that clears it up.
You know, in the snow episode, The Empire Strikes Back.
How about Star Wars coffee creamer? Okay. This is actually new. This is with the film coming out this week. If you do the Coffee Mate coffee creamers, each one of the Coffee Mate bottles will have a different character on it.
Oh, this is cool.
Oh, that's going to make your coffee taste so good.
They have Chewbacca and Boba Fett.
Lighter your coffee is.
Look at that. It's Boba Fett Bavarian. Looks like Bavarian cream, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Wow. Why didn't I think of any of this?
How about chopsticks? You know what? Lightsabers. Chopsabers. They're chopsticks that light up. Chopsabers.
You're saying chapstick?
No, like chopsticks.
Chopsticks.
Yeah,
right.
the Asian food.
Right.
These are chopsabers. They light up.
Oh, sabers.
Yeah.
I said sabers.
These are cool. And you can get the blue for Luke or the red for Darth Vader.
Right.
And when you put them in your mouth eating Asian food, you get electrocuted.
There's a Star Wars fishing kit. There's Star Wars toilet paper.
Oh, now there you go.
If the box office isn't big enough, that's what you'll be using.
There is literally the gift that keeps on giving.
What is it? Tauntaun? What's how do you pronounce it?
Tauntaun.
Tauntaun sleeping bags?
Mm-hmm.
A Star Wars porcelain china set if you're planning on getting married in the next couple of days. A Jar Jar Binks lollipop, which looks like the alien coming out of the stomach in that Sigourney Weaver movie.
And you're supposed to lick it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not good.
Seems a little creepy.
It's not good. We'll put the link up for all of that so you can get those for your Star Wars freaks in your family. Dean, I thought this was one of our best.
We're sending this one to the Broadcast Museum. Speaking of Star Wars, I'm going to see it tomorrow, and I'll review it on, Wednesday or Thursday, something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll have the early review on it here.
I look forward to hopefully being here.
You were gone last week.
Yeah. Well, I'm on standby for my first grandchild, so I could be gone in any minute.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. It's very exciting.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Bye.
That's Dean. We'll come back. Get your big story in just a moment on 720 WGN. Two powerful show business females in this half hour. One's delightful. The other is Kate Gosselin. Let's start with delightful. Jen Weigel, who joins us now. Good morning. How are you?
So that's the first time I've ever heard Kate Gosselin and Jen Weigel in the same sentence, so thanks for that.
Well,
in the same sentence, awesome.
At least I named you delightful. your friend Billy Corgan is such an interesting guy. Billy Corgan, Smashing Pumpkins, of course, but he's way more than that in 100 different layers, and probably even though you've been friends for all these years, you're probably still finding stuff out, right?
Always. You know, the cool thing about the Wilmette Theater and what we do over there is we have conversations, and they just go on, and it's unedited. So, like you have with radio, you know, sure, you have to take commercial breaks and such, but the beauty of what we do is we tell stories, and it's in front of people. So for anybody out there who's a fan of Billy or the Smashing Pumpkins or anything that he's done or his wrestling, or maybe they visited his tea place up in Highland Park, whatever it might be, it's going to be so interesting because you never know what you're going to get. You can ask anything. We're going to do a Q&A with the audience for the last hour, and I'm going to interview him for the first hour. And, you know, it's just like your chance to get a selfie with Billy Corgan.
Well, and the tea, you know, thing, the tea thing, the tea shop, what's it called?
Zuzu's.
Zuzu's, I would assume because he's got such a huge following that there'd be businesses that are trying to get him to put that in other cities, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know. That's a question we can ask him tomorrow night. I think that he just took my trivia question. I was going to give away some tickets. We were going to ask what the name of the tea shop is to get those away. So now you have to think of another question, Steve.
How about Seventh Caller? That always is good.
Okay. That always works in a pinch.
Seventh Caller never fails if you'd like to go to the show tomorrow night. All right. Again, Wilmette Theater, A Conversation with Billy Corgan. Now, here's the thing that's interesting. It can be difficult. If you're good friends with somebody and you have to find a way to interview them without making it completely inside, right?
Well, that's the thing that, you know, because Billy is a complicated human being, we have a complicated relationship, as everybody does, but we're friends. But at the same time, it's very brother-sister, so I like to call him on his stuff and he likes to call me on mine. So it's great. I think you and I have that kind of relationship too, Steve.
Sure.
We can
sit, sure.
And it's like, you know what? Hey, I can see right through this. This is what's happening.
Right.
So that's why I think one of the things that's missing in today's world, in showbiz and everything else, if you watch The Tonight Show or you watch whatever, it's all so highly edited. Even on YouTube, we can edit things. So to have something that's raw and in person and not edited is really unique, and it rarely happens. And so that's what we like to do up at the Wilmette Theater once a month, and that's what I think anybody who comes will leave there going, well, that was cool because that was unexpected, or can you believe you said that? Or, you know, we can't edit it down. We can't stop and go, okay, can we take the last 15 minutes away and pretend that didn't happen?
Well, how about that?
Happen.
Yeah, and it makes for an interesting crowd, too, because the Smashing Pumpkins have 65-year-old fans, and they have 15-year-old fans. But if you were 15 when they broke, you are 35, 36 now, probably with a family and a mortgage and everything else.
Right,
so
exactly.
Here's a chance for you to come out and see Billy Corgan up close at the Wilmette Theater. All right, how do you get tickets again?
You go to wilmettetheater.org, or you can go to jenweigel.com, or you can just call Wilmette Theater yourself. But jenweigel.com is a good bit. Just click on gigs, and it's right there. Like the how to buy tickets thing is right there.
And you're going to do a question and answer with the audience as well?
Totally, yeah. We're going to do the Q&A with the audience as well. And also, you know, he's really into, we want to talk about what inspires him and intuition and all those things. And for anyone who's ever been up to his tea shop, if you happen to pop in there when he's there, it's so funny. I was there with him. We were sitting and chatting, and, like, this couple from Dallas came in. And it's like they weren't expecting to see him, and then all of a sudden it was like, you know,
oh, that's funny.
They were paralyzed, and they kind of walked over, and he's talking to him and taking pictures and stuff. It's like, hey, thanks for stopping in. I mean, it's kind of funny because my son is really into his music, and he's 9, and I'm really into his music, and I'm older than 9.
Right.
So, you know, it's just...
Not much.
Yeah, not much, right?
Right,
hey,
right.
By the way, speaking of my 9-year-old, am I a bad parent because I just told him to pee in the bushes because we're running late?
Wait, oh, you're being judged by Andrea.
Oh, no. I saw Jen the other day. I was taking a shortcut through an alley, and which is fine. And
you
I saw
in the bushes?
No, I didn't. I had to, but I saw this guy, this father holding the car door open, and I was watching his son do the same thing. And I thought, and I started to judge. Then I realized, you know what? I'm not a parent, so I can't.
Right.
I can't judge.
Boys have it easy. They can pee in bushes, but they're not supposed to.
Yeah. Okay. But you know how many times. And you know how many times in my life I've been on a parking ramp, like late on a Friday or Saturday night, where you hear giggling behind a car door and it's three girls peeing in the parking ramp?
Never.
Come on.
Okay, what? Where are you going on weekends? And I think Andre and I want to go next time.
Right. Totally, Jen.
We all have gone outside at some point. The problem is when that's the only place you can go, that's where it really runs into trouble. All right, on that happy note, let me remind you that that's not why Jen and I were talking. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, a conversation with Billy Corgan. It's a Jen Weigel interview. And again, tickets available, but not many, so get yours. Thanks, Jen.
Thank you so much, Steve. Bye, guys.
See you, bye. It's,
by the way, Jen is on Chicago Fire quite a bit. She plays a reporter. Kind of like a recurring reporter.
Yeah, they're doing like a three-show crossover thing where the fire, the EMT, and the doctors are all going to have the same storyline.
Yeah, they were filming that over the weekend, actually, in Grand Park. It was very cool. They had all the helicopters hovering, and they were staging a fire truck slammed into a fake tour bus. And you knew it was a fake tour bus because it was like Chicago Tours, and it had the flag all over and pictures of whoever they had.
How'd they smash it? Did they actually drive it into it?
It was neat, yeah. It's cool how they staged it. Blocked traffic for a while. But
if anybody needs me to smash up their car, let me know. That'd be fun.
Here's what you want every time, Mom.
They just have minds of their own, and I'm just like, I surrender.
Are you ready to become a pilgrim?
They were so adorable as little miniature pilgrim-y children. Is this bed rest upon a bolt? I didn't care whose bed it was. I just laid down in it.
Kate Goslin joins us. You look fabulous, by the way. I've seen some pictures that are all over your social media situation and online. You look great. And hi.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I got a new reality show for you. It's a show where you just go somewhere and sit quietly and the kids don't bother you for a while.
Hey, I'm in for it. Yeah. I'm really good at sleeping when I get a chance.
How does this work? Well, first off, explain when the show's on. Give us the new name and all of that.
Well, it's the same show, Kate Plus 8. It's season 4, and we're airing on TLC Tuesdays at 9 p.m., and we're really excited to be back. It's a lot of fun.
So, but how does it work in your life? This is the part that fascinates me. So the cameras are lit and hooked up all the time in the house? Do you have like a couple hours where they're down? How does that part work?
Oh, no. They come – this isn't Big Brother – they come with their cameras and they follow us around. It's our same crew. They're friends by this point, and it's a very normal, non-obtrusive situation in our house. We just go off and do whatever, and it's absolutely not scripted. We don't do redos because I can barely get my kids to do their homework or do what I ask them to do, let alone, you know, play along. We usually, obviously, we have an event. Oh, we're going here. And kind of all of the things that lead up to it just happen. It's our real lives. The kids watch it as their real memories, kind of like home video. And that's what's worked for us. And, you know, our fans that have followed us since the kids were barely walking, you know, till now are excited that we're back. When we were off the air for a little while, back in, I don't know, 2011, 12-ish, you know, I got so many emails and tweets, people saying, I feel like our neighbors and friends moved away. Where have you gone? We miss you. And so I'm just being open, honest, and sharing my frustrations. I have nothing to hide. It's very difficult being a parent, let alone being a single parent of 8 kids. And so, you know, people watch to watch how my kids are growing up, and I don't know what the draw is, except maybe they feel relieved that they have less kids, or, you know, some people say that I'm really organized, which I feel like I'm falling apart at this point, but I'm just trying to hold it all together and do the best that I can, keeping in mind that you get one shot as a parent.
Sure.
You get one shot to raise your kids. We all mess up. We all, you know, feel like, oh, I was horrible in that situation and whatever, but the bottom line is, you know, we're shaping people and turning them out into the world. And I want my people to turn out to be positive members of society who contribute in a good way. And that's my goal.
Yeah, you don't want criminals. Criminals would be bad. And the kids are beautiful, and they seem like really decent people, but they're now getting old enough. Like, I remember seeing part of an episode. I think you were bungee jumping, and you were scared out of your mind. And every family
jumping off the tower.
That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. And you got some little daredevils. And like any family, you know, you get a family of three kids and have three completely different kids. Is that the story with your kids? Because some of the kids are giving you a hard time. Some of the kids are trying to make you feel better.
Yes, definitely. Just because they were, you know, born on the same day, you know, within a few minutes of each other, they're completely different people. And I think that would be the greatest mistake ever to kind of cluster them and just think that across the board, you know, they're kind of just the same people. They're definitely different. They all like different things. They, you know, figuring them out is probably one of the best parts of being their mom, trying to figure out, you know, what makes this one tick, what makes that one work. And their needs seem to be branching out as they get older. They're different. And I'm having, I mean, it's hard as they get older to meet all of those individual needs that they each have. And yet that's what's required. And that's what I'm trying to do. I wish, honestly, I could just clone myself a couple times because that's what's needed around here. I'm definitely outnumbered, but I'm never going to stop trying to do my best. And, you know, you see the good, the bad, and the ugly on our show, season four, just like you did all the other seasons.
What's the age range now?
Maddie and Kara are 15. They're in ninth grade. Wow. And my little kids, which, by the way, they're starting to say, why do you always call us the little kids? I'm like, true. They're 11 and a half.
Wow. Wow.
I said, I don't know what else to call you because you're the little kids in our house. And they were like, oh, true.
I've only got two, and they're grown people now. But, you know, every day growing up is something new. Something new is an adventure and all that. But, the idea that cameras are, well, I guess it's normal, right? When you didn't have the TV show, the kids probably wondered why there were no cameras.
They did. And I know that's a really hard concept for people to understand. It would be hard for me, too, if this wasn't our life. But a kid's normal is their normal. You know, a military family who moves twice a year or whatever, and they move their whole life. That's their normal. This is our normal. And the kids definitely did wonder why our crew wasn't here. And I'm very, involved in terms of coming up with the ideas because they have to be normal and feel like real to us. So I'm very hands-on there, as well as being hands-on with our crew. We don't have a lot of switch around. We don't have a lot of different random people because that's our comfort level and our home is our safe zone. And so I try to keep it as normal and comfortable for the kids. And therefore we have a small crew, same people for, you know, we still have our same sound guy from the first moment that we filmed for Discovery Health, which eventually we, you know, moved to TLC. And so we have known these people for a long time and they've really, really been supportive and wonderful, and we are really, really lucky.
Well, I wish you luck in a new season, and if the Real Housewives volunteer to babysit, tell them no.
Yeah, I'm definitely, you know, I'm about the reality, real, real shows. So I don't know. I don't know much about them.
Yeah, the reality, it comes in quotes with reality TV. So, look, you're back. It's season, is this five or four? It's four. Season four.
Four for plus eight.
On TLC. Yeah, on TLC. Congratulations. Hold the line. That's Kate Goslin. Tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Did I say tonight? Or tomorrow night. I have two kids that are grown up, and I'm tired.
I don't know how she does it.
So.
At least they're older now. They can change themselves.
Well, you could also make the argument, you know, you don't know why she does it, right?
Why she does the show?
Yeah, I mean, you do it for fame and for money, I suppose, but it's an odd way to grow up.
True. I think a lot of it does have to do with, she off the line? Yeah, with fame and money. Don't you? I mean, why would you keep doing it?
Yeah. Well, and I suppose, and I think this actually was part of her, look, I don't know the woman.
Yeah.
But this was part of her argument after the show went off the air in whatever it was, 2011, 2012, that this is the skill that they have.
Yeah.
Like, in other words, this is how we made money.
Right.
So we're going to continue to make money this way. TLC's got a vested interest in the kids not being abused.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. I don't know. Look, it's easy to judge anybody.
True.
I judge everybody. I don't see the show.
I don't either. I don't really watch it either. I mean, I used to see John and Kate Plus 8, but she says it went away and people were saying, where did it go? I didn't miss it.
Well, I think that's largely true. You can take people that are really reprehensible, mm-hmm. and when they're celebrities and they meet people in public, people will generally be nice.
Yeah, this is true. Very true.
Look how nice our texters are.
They're crazy today.
Perfect December weather. I'm a little Frank. Dave, I'm dancing with Andrea, not you. Don't be pouty, you'll get the next one.
The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea.
As Frank Sinatra celebrates, well, Frank's not celebrating necessarily. Out of cloud somewhere he may be. But as those who love Sinatra, and that's everybody, celebrates his 100th birthday. I don't know anybody that knew him better than Tom Dreesen. Good morning, buddy.
Morning, Stevie.
So I was off last week. I was going to call you. I was off last week, so I'm glad we connected today because I just wonder what you were thinking. I mean, 100 for Frank.
Well, it was a sort of a celebration day because he would have been 100 years old. It was also a little bit melancholy for me, too, because, you know, I did so many interviews, I think about him every day without the interviews. You know, he was such a big part of my life. And then also, you know, to think that, 100 years, it also makes you realize how old you're getting.
Now, you toured with Frank for how many years?
14 years in 45, 50 cities a year.
Which is pretty crazy. Right. Pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. And he loved you, and he loved what you did on stage and loved all of it. But you told me many times, look, Dreesen's been in show business a long time. He keeps himself in great shape. He's athletic. He's handsome. He couldn't keep up with Frank.
I'll dance with you next time.
He couldn't keep up with Frank. Tell me. You told me a great story a while ago. You're in Vegas, and it's getting late, and Frank gets upset because you're going to bed, right?
Well, yeah, because first of all, he never went to bed till the sun came up, ever. And all the years I toured with him, whether we were on the road or off the road, when the sun came up, Frank went to bed. And he expected you to hang out with him. He enjoyed it if you hanged out with him. And it was fun for me for about 10 or 12 years. And instead of the word, yeah, you know. And you and I love golf.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I get a chance and we're in Las Vegas or we're somewhere where there are good golf courses, I'm going to bring my sticks, you know. Well, so this particular night, we'd been on the road doing one-nighters all over the country. And then we flew into Las Vegas, opened at the Desert Inn, did two shows. Now it's 4:30 in the morning, and Frank's got 5-6 guys. We're all sitting around, and he's going in the second gear at 4:30 in the morning. And I decided I had it. And I got up, and I got up from the table, and I said to go. He said, hey, where are you going? I said, I'm going to bed. He said, what for? I said, I got to get up early in the morning, go to the cemetery, and visit those guys. He said, what guys? I said, all those guys who died trying to stay up with you every night. He said, go to bed. But he made me tell that story.
He loved the needle, though, didn't he? I mean, Ryu Rickles, you give him a hard time. He didn't mind that, did he?
No, he was a good sport. First of all, he had a great sense of humor. And the sense of humor, as you know, Steve, is not when you have the ability to laugh at other shortcomings or misfortunes. It's when you have the ability to laugh at your own.
Right.
And Frank could laugh at himself. I mean, you know, one night we were in a bar in Palm Springs, and it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and we were the only ones in the bar. The owner had given Frank the keys and went home because Frank would stay till sunup, you know. And a car pulled out in front, and I saw him. I was looking over Frank's shoulder, and the one woman stayed behind the wheel, and the other woman came out from behind the passenger side. She came running in the bar, and she said, Frank had his back to her, and she said, excuse me, do they have a jukebox in here? And Frank turned around, and he looked her right in the face, and he said, I'm sorry, what did you say? She said, did they have a jukebox in here? And Frank looked around the bar, and he said, no, I don't know. They don't have one. And he said to her, I'll sing for you. She said, no, thanks. And she turned around and she walked up. And he looked at her like a little boy is watching her go out the door. And I said, she obviously didn't recognize you. He said, maybe she did.
Oh, that's tremendous. He was a big tipper, too, wasn't he?
Well, you know, that's why staying in that bar, if the bartender could stay, they would. You know, otherwise we could wait on ourselves. Because Frank, if you brought Frank a drink, he gave you $100. If you brought him a pack of cigarettes, he gave you $100. Or a cup of coffee, you got $100. He didn't show off. He'd slip it to you privately, you know. And, of course, the great joke, in Mame San restaurant in L.A., he was coming out of Mame San restaurant, and a valet parker pulled his car up, and Frank said, what's the biggest tip you ever got? And the kid said, $100, and Frank gave him two $100 bills. And he said, by the way, who gave you the $100? He said, you did last Friday, Mr. Sinatra.
Was he close to his kids? I mean, I know there was always that father-son thing with Frank Jr., and you know, maybe that was weird. Maybe it wasn't. The documentary that's been running on HBO tells a story about that, too. And it's a pretty good documentary, by the way. But was he really close to the girls?
Yeah, Nancy, of course, his firstborn, when she would come into the room and I'd be with him, his eyes would light up, you know. He called her chicken. He was crazy about her, and he's crazy about his kids, but he seemed closest to her, in my opinion, and I don't think the other two would argue that point. Tina was raised almost while he was out at that time. He had gotten a divorce, and so he would visit on occasion, you know. But she now runs his company, and she does it quite well, you know. And he loved his kids. He really did. We talked a lot about that on the road because I had three children, a girl, right. boy, girl. He had three children, a girl, boy, girl, you know. And so we talked a lot about kids. And then to have Frankie Jr. with him conducting the last 7 years, I think made him feel comfortable on stage to have his son right behind him every night, you know.
When you guys would be hanging out late nights, did he mind when people would always ask about the stories from the old days? I mean, I know he was a legendary storyteller, but did that get old for him?
No, you know, as a matter of fact, that's, you know, what hangout people are. You know, Chicago people, and you're one of them too, Steve, we love to hang out. You know,
right.
after the gig, the fun is hanging out after the gig.
Right.
And when somebody said to me, I said, Chicago people are great hangout people, and Frank, you know, even though he was from New York, he was a hangout guy. So they said, what constitutes a great hangout person? And that's a person who could hear the same story 500 times and laugh just as hard the 500th time as they heard it the first time. And you also can hardly wait for a new guy to join the group so you can say, hey, Steve, tell him about that night, and you tell the story all over again, you know.
Right.
Frank loved to tell. He was a great storyteller.
I heard it, and I think you told me this. It could have been our mutual buddy, Bill Zamy. But it was a party at Dean Martin's house. is that your story?
Yeah, well, I've told this story many times, but Dean had a party at his house, and you know, Dean didn't like to hang out late at all because he played a lot of golf, you know. So there was a party, and they had a trio in the backyard and everything. And Frank said around 8:30, he saw Dean disappear. And he didn't think much of it because Dean was like that. And he said about 8:45, a squad car pulls out in front and says, you know, we're having trouble. The neighbors are complaining about the noise, the band. And Frank said, hold on. He went upstairs and he said, Dean was laying on the bed with a 5-iron in his hand watching TV. He said, you called the cops, didn't you? He said, yeah, Dick, I had to get up early in the morning and play golf. So he called the cops on his own party, you know.
Of the rap.
They called each other Dag, which is, as you know, short for Dago.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, you know, the politically correct of today wasn't the politically correct of the 60s.
What I love about that, I was on a show the other day, and I told that certain guy, I said, wow, they couldn't get away with that today. I said, oh, yeah, I'd love to be in the room when somebody went in and told Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin, you can't call each other Dag. You better open a window because somebody was going to go flying out
well,
that window.
Well, and you made the point a long time ago, broad was not an insult. Broad was a compliment.
Well, first of all, when Frank Sinatra said, she's a great broad, he meant that that was the highest compliment. To him, a great broad was a woman who could mingle with the creme de la creme of the White House during the day and hang out with the guys at night. And that was Angie Dickinson, and that was his wife, Barbara, and women like that. And I've known many in my lifetime. You know.
I'll let you go, but because I know it's early, and I hope you have a tea time, but... You got into this business at a time, and look, how many people do you know? Here's Tom Dreesen's story. Close personal friends with the greatest entertainer of all time, Sinatra, and the greatest talk show host of all time, the king of late night, Johnny Carson. That's a pretty good resume right there. Not to mention everybody else you've been friends with through the years. But Rickles told me this a long time ago. I remember going backstage to see Don Rickles. I opened for Don Rickles a couple times in Atlantic City and Detroit, and I never saw him with pants on before a show. Because all of those guys, and this includes you when you were coming up, you couldn't have a wrinkle, right?
Yeah, well, first of all, George Burns taught me that, too. Before you go on, so you don't put your pants on till like 5 minutes before you go on stage, you know, so you don't wrinkle them. You don't put on your stage pants and then sit down, you know. That was just part of it, you know. And Sammy was the same way. Sammy Davis Jr., you know, when I toured with him for 3 years, he taught those same kind of stage etiquette. He never put on those shoes that he wore on stage. He never wore anywhere out in the casino or in the street. They were only stage shoes, you know, and that kind of thing.
A matter of respect for the audience. But, I mean, picture the biggest stars of an entire generation and of the latter half of the last century spent most of their time backstage walking around without pants.
Well, here's a quick, real quick story. Frank Sinatra, I said to him one time, why are we wearing tuxedos all the time? He said, Tommy, if we were to perform for the king and the queen, royalty, we'd wear a tuxedo. that garage mechanic and this waitress wife who work all year long to afford one ticket to our show, they deserve as much royalty to us as the king and the queen. So we dress as well for them as we would for royalty. I never forgot that. That was something that stuck with me.
Respect the audience. Respect the audience, because if you don't, you're not going to have one.
Exactly.
So you're a good man. I look forward to seeing when you get back to town. What are you doing for the holidays? You coming in?
I'm performing all over the country.
Oh, you are?
One-man show, An Evening of Laughter and Memories of Sinatra. But I'm coming to Chicago January 14th because the Antenna TV, Larry Wirt has hooked up a deal with Carson Productions.
Yep.
They're going to rerun all the Johnny Carson shows, as you know.
Yep.
You know, and so I'm coming in on January 14th for a big get-together and a press conference and hang out and maybe buy you a few beers.
Let me tell you something. It's 62 here today. If this continues, we'll get a tea time. It's crazy. All the best, man. Thanks for getting up.
You too, buddy. Take care.
All right. It's Tom Dreesen. It's a pretty good life he's had, too, by the way.
I love those stories.
So, it's a different world.
Do you love Dreesen, the story of Dean Martin calling the police on his own party? I got to get up in the morning. Tell him to go home. It's 9:25. The Willowbrook Choir. Have we figured out, by the way, their locale? They're caught in traffic trying to get her? They are here. Okay. Willowbrook Choir, personal friends of Mary Vanderbilt.
Was she in the choir?
We don't know the connection entirely, do
we? I don't know the connection, no.
Well, it's in Villa Park, so it had to be her kids that went there.
Kids' school?
Oh.
They're going to sing for us coming up. We got choirs pretty much every day this week, right?
Yeah.
Through Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Maybe you could sing some of your Adele for them.
Hello from the other.
Or not.
Adele's going to be on TV tonight. You think it'll be just like this? Hello from the other side. I sound like I'm in pain a little,
don't
I?
You do. Yeah. I'm sure it'll be just like that.
How do you know I'm not? It's 9:26. We're back after this on 720 WGN. Mary Vanderbilt joins us. Good morning, Mary.
Hi. How are you guys? I haven't seen you forever.
Yeah. Well, I know. And you're not here, and I'm here. Are you coming in tomorrow?
I am, yes.
All right, then I'll come in.
I was so upset. Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Oh, I was so upset I missed the choir today.
Yes, the choir. Your choir's here today. And the other thing is the news that I'm told you wanted to know about. I am not a grandfather yet. Baby is still about to be showing up.
I didn't want to ask. I felt like it was bad luck to ask, so I didn't want to ask. So I'm sure that everybody's bugging me.
Do you really think you wouldn't have heard, though?
She's due next Sunday.
I know. Is she dilated?
All right.
No, but I am.
This is a little personal.
Yes, I am. All right, so tell me about Willowbrook, your connection. Your kids were in the choir?
Actually, my daughter was in the choir, and I was in the choir, many, many moons ago. And all my kids went to Willowbrook, and Miss Walcott is awesome. She is a great choir director, and I believe you have a senior choir there today. Is that right?
I don't know, Miss Walcott. Who are these people?
This is actually Center Stage. It's our show choir.
Oh, this is the A team.
Yes, it's our show choir here today.
These are really good ones.
So they are auditioned, but they are freshmen through seniors. So we have all levels. Here.
Right. So, but these are the ones you're not messing around.
We're not messing around.
These are the show ponies.
You better believe it.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Yeah. Karen, how long have you been doing this?
Well, it's my 18th year at Willowbrook High School, but I've been teaching for about 25 almost.
We look good for a woman of 30.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And did you go to school for music?
I did. I went to Millikan University for undergrad and Northwestern for my master's.
You know anybody at Northwestern?
Go Cats.
I know a few.
Yeah.
I know a few.
Millikan, isn't that where... Didn't Lou go to Millikan?
Did he?
Manfredini?
Yeah. I don't know if he did or not. It's a great school, though.
It's a Lou Manfredini?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Manfredini went there. He was in the tool belt major. Yeah, we just confirmed. Yes, he was a Millikan grad.
Yes, he was.
Theater major. Mm. Did you know him?
No.
Lou Manfredini?
No.
Ever heard of him?
No. Yes.
Oh, no.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
All right. So, Mary, when you were going to school, did they have the, what is this called again, this group?
It's called Center Stage.
Center Stage. Did they have the Center Stage group?
No. I believe I was in the first swing choir back in the day that we started in the, I want to say, late 70s.
Wow.
And, yeah, when we started choreography, I did the choreography, and we had, most of the girls and boys in the senior choir took over into the, we called it the swing choir back then. We didn't have a fancy name for it.
Well, this is a nice memory for you. Hey, Mary can't be here, but she wanted to be. So let's just everybody, first names and where you hope to go to school and your social security numbers. On three. One, two, three.
Hi, everyone.
Mary, I hope that made you feel closer to them.
Hi, everyone. Go Warriors.
Go Warriors. Go Warriors. Let's do a couple back-to-back here. And when I say let's, I mean you guys. All right. So Ms. Walcott will now lead the Willowbrook Choir here, the center stage group on 720 WGN. That may be the best music we've ever had on the air. That is unbelievable. That is absolutely unbelievable. Mary, there is no way you were that good when you were with this group.
No way. They were the best so far.
They're incredible. You guys are really incredible. And by the way, we should say this. That was just two people.
No, it was not.
Incredible. Really incredible. All right, I'd love to hear another one, if you don't mind. I said back-to-back. I just want to acknowledge you guys. A sitting ovation. Very impressive.
Very true, very true.
Really great. All right, more now from the Willowbrook Choir. Yes, what?
The world needs peace right now.
Yes, the world needs a lot of peace. So here we go, with that in mind.
Peace on earth and good will to all. This is a time.
Beautiful. Look, there's nothing you can say other than the fact that that's just tremendous. It really is tremendous. I don't know what kind of whiplash movement you're doing there when you're teaching these kids music, but they are clearly listening. That is incredible. More with these guys in just a second. It's the Willoughby Choir. Oh, you know, do you have a plug for the shows you're doing for the parents in the district or anything?
Well, they're done.
They are done.
Yes, we have finals this week.
Oh, so. But they are available for birthday parties and bar mitzvahs. Absolutely. I'm doing all of their booking.
We are out for hiring. Just call, please.
Very impressive. More from these guys in just a second.
Caroling, caroling, now we go. Christmas bells are ringing. Caroling, caroling through the snow. Christmas bells are ringing. Joyous voices, sweet and clear. Sing the sad of heart to cheer. Ding dong, ding dong. Christmas bells are ringing. Caroling, caroling through the town. Christmas bells are ringing. Caroling, caroling up and down, Christmas bells are ringing. Mark ye well the song we sing, gladsome tidings now we bring. Ding dong, ding dong, Christmas bells are ringing. Caroling, caroling near and far, Christmas bells are ringing. Following, following yonder star, Christmas bells are ringing. Sing we all this happy morn, lo, the King of Heaven's born. Ding dong, ding dong, Christmas bells are ringing.
Hark on the bells, sweet summer bells, all seem to say, throw cares away. Christmas is here, ringing good cheer, you young and old, meek and the poor. Ding dong, ding dong, that is his song. Ding dong, a ring, dong, caroling. One seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, how they all praise.
Just amazing. Yeah. Just absolutely beautiful. Thank you guys very much for sharing that with us, really. And good luck whether you're going to school next year or you're going back to Willowbrook. You're all going to be amazing successes in life. We need more of this. Make you feel good for the holidays. And Ms. Walcott, thank you very much. Kev, we need to give Ms. Walcott a MyPillow for coming by today.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Done.
I'm going, I want a MyPillow. I did all the work, right? They're over here. But you guys are great. Thank you again for coming in. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to everybody.
Thank you.